From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today on Deadline is looking at one of the biggest issues for Americans headed to the polls this election cycle, the southern border. Last week, President Joe Biden offered his solution for the problem that has long divided progressives and conservatives. He passed a measure to curtail the number of people who seek asylum on U.S. soil. Leading into the November election, the goal for Biden is to fix what some have called his biggest failure as president. Late night host Jimmy Fallon even joked recently, "Say what you want about Biden, but he takes immediate action 5 months before an election." Under the new executive order, the Biden administration will shut down asylum requests to the southern border once the daily number reaches 2,500 between all legal ports of entry. Once the number of crossings eases to 1,500, the border will be reopened. During fiscal year 2023, the number of migrants crossing the border eclipsed 2.5 million, an all-time record. So, will Biden's new policy be enough to change the minds of swing voters motivated by these issues at the border? Anna Potratz-Acosta, a law professor at Mitchell Hamline Law School, joined Odyssey last week to share her thoughts on the executive order.
And Professor, can you tell us a little bit about what is going to be the initial impact of this?
Sure. So under this rule, if there are a number of unauthorized crossings, if the average is greater than 2,500 per day over a period of time, there is effectively a ban on people being able to request asylum if they enter between ports of entry. So if they cross unlawfully between ports of entry, they will not have the opportunity to request asylum. Since the unauthorized border crossings have, the average has been above that threshold of 2,500 crossings per day for a period of time before this rule took, or this proclamation and the regulations take effect, it will take effect immediately. And in order for the ban on individuals who cross between ports of entry without authorization to be able to request asylum, the number of daily unauthorized crossings has to drop below 1,500, an average of 1,500 per day. And I think the problem with it, and at least from the perspective of immigration advocates, is that it's pretty unlikely that it will drop below that 1,500 number. So we could potentially be seeing an indefinite ban on the entry of asylum seekers, or the ability of people who cross between ports of entry to request asylum. And then at the same time, there are some limitations under this rule that limit the ability to request asylum at ports of entry, which is the other way that you can request asylum at the border.
And that means they're going to be turned right around without even being processed at all. So there's going to be no questions asked about whether people are trying to flee for their safety or for, you know, extenuating circumstances. Clearly, this is something that the Biden administration has taken on themselves because they could not reach a compromise with Congress. But what is going to be, the ultimate impact of it? I mean, 2,500 people a day is a lot. It just gives you an idea of how big this problem is in terms of the number of people pouring over the border.
Right. Although what I will say is that I think one thing to appreciate is the size of our southern border. So it's several thousand miles that runs from the Rio Grande Valley in Texas all the way to California. So, and then there are time periods of the year when crossing, they're like people requesting asylum is higher because of sort of seasonal patterns of people coming from Central and South America. So, and the other thing too, to kind of give some perspective, over the past 6 months or so, the number of unauthorized crossings per day has actually dropped pretty significantly. So like we were, the high point, I think, was sometime last fall. And right now, based on that high point, and like in the fall and then in January or so when the border bill was originally being negotiated in the Senate, the number of unauthorized crossings per day has actually dropped by 50%. So it seems like they were starting to kind of get a handle on it, both through a combination of, and I will also add that there have been regulations in effect since May of last year that have pretty significantly restricted the ability of people who cross between ports of entry to request asylum. You're limited to a form of relief called withholding of removal if you have crossed through a third country and enter unlawfully between ports of entry. You're not allowed to request, or there's a rebuttable presumption that you're not eligible for asylum prior to this new rule taking effect. But it's, well, I think, like, the thing to appreciate is that, like, crossings are going down and the size of the border, too.
Conservatives have been demanding strict action on the border for months. But the issue is far more complicated than just quote-unquote closing the border. The Brookings Institute noted key issues in a recent report, including the fact that numbers of people trying to come to the United States have skyrocketed as migrants come from all over the world, not just Mexico. It's more difficult to hire Border Patrol agents than perhaps any other law enforcement position in the federal government. That's because of expensive and extensive background checks that can take from months to years to complete. Chronic underfunding has created an enormous backlog in the immigration courts. Closing the border also exposes children to more exploitation, to kidnapping, to physical and sexual violence while they're stranded waiting to cross the border, according to Melissa Adamson at the National Center for Youth Law. And there's always the concern about political backfire. Republicans shoot down potential solutions at the border that they believe don't go far enough, while some progressives feel Biden has gone too far in restricting migrants. Bill Hing is a USF professor and founding director of the Immigration and Deportation Defense Clinic. He joined Odyssey to share his perspective.
How much of this is for Biden to have a talking point in the debate?
I think it's a big reason. He's been criticized for not doing more at the border. He's said, well, this should be a bipartisan support. Why didn't you pass the agreement that was reached by a bipartisan group back in January? And then Mr. Trump told Republicans don't support that because Mr. Trump wants the border to be an issue during the campaign. So I think it's 100% response to the election.
It was pretty interesting when Trump made his initial remarks after being convicted of those 34 felony counts. The first thing he talked about was immigration. That was the first thing that he talked about when he addressed people. Can you talk about that bipartisan agreement that didn't get past the finish line?
Yeah, the bipartisan agreement had a lot of the elements in this executive order. It had a threshold, and the threshold was actually higher. If the number reached, I think it was 33,000 more, you know, 5,000. And then this would get triggered. But the problem back then was that border issue was linked to funding for Ukraine and for Israel. And so that made it even more complicated. But it was agreed upon by a bipartisan group. But as I said, former President Trump asked his Republican friends in Congress to not support it because he didn't want Biden to be able to say, look, I signed a border deal.
Immigration is a huge topic right now for the election. It may be one of the top ones that are voting. So how do you please all sides, if you will?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I think that I have faith in the American public that if they knew the faces and the stories of the folks at the border, that people would calm down a little bit about the border. So I do think that the Biden administration has done a terrible job of explaining who the folks are. I ask an average person, well, why are the people there? And most Americans probably don't know why people are at the southern border. And so they missed that opportunity. But I do agree that there needs to be some resources that are put at the border, but it doesn't have to be military. It can be humanitarian and be speeding up the process for processing these folks. But Republicans also understand we need to invest in those countries that are the sending countries. They understand that, and we should be doing that in a smart way. That's how I would satisfy, by explaining that we're addressing root causes, not just the effect of the root causes.
In the meantime, are there other countries aside from the United States that can take some of these immigrants in?
That's a great, great point, that it's not just the United States' responsibility. I think Canada has taken interest. Mexico itself has resources, and I have hope for this new president. And even countries like Panama, that president has expressed some interest in immigration. There are resources. There are the collective Central American banking system. They've got money. And I know the IMF and the World Bank may be dirty words to even pro-immigrant people, but I've looked at what they have been trying to do, and there are good people at those big institutions that are willing to put the money in the right hands.
You might be wondering what's driving this worldwide surge of migrants to our borders. Well, the World Bank estimates that 659 million people around the globe live in poverty. That's about twice the total population of the United States. Elaine C. Kmark, the director of the Center for Effective Public Management at Brookings, wrote in a report that, quote, "While the United States could absorb and even thrive on normal levels of migration, it cannot accommodate millions of people fleeing poverty. How much immigration does it take to maintain the balance of new growth, economic opportunity, and stability in the United States? Many experts will tell you that the answer depends on which side of the aisle you sit politically." After a bipartisan Senate bill was killed in the House earlier this year, reports surfaced that former President Trump had been behind the efforts to stop the legislation. According to those reports, he wanted to campaign amid an ongoing border crisis that kept people fired up against his opponent in the 2024 presidential election. But now, with Biden taking action against the border, that topic isn't as easy for Trump to take fire on. To share more, retired federal immigration judge and past president of the National Association of Immigration Judges, Dana Lee Marks, joined Odyssey.
I have to say that the details of the plan that someone like me would want to see before commenting on specifics, they haven't come out yet. We don't know the details. I'm learning from the news as you are learning from other newscasters as well. But I've heard enough to realize that this is simply an attempt to close the border to illegal entrance. What it will do, however, is when you close the border, you're closing the legal portion of the border. And so that's just going to create more backlogs for people who are trying to do things the right way. We've found historically that the way to stem illegal immigration is to allow for legal pathways to enter the country. And that's something that only Congress can do effectively on a large enough scale to make a difference.
One of the things that the president did point out today is that regardless of what he is doing by executive order, that Congress would still be needed to have enough money to create enough funding to hire everything from more immigration judges to more Border Patrol agents. How severe is that shortage?
That's a crucial issue because even with the dramatic need for staffing, the appropriations people in Congress have not provided even the amount that has been requested by, say, the immigration court for this current fiscal year. They did not give them the full amount. And so it remains to be seen, number one, how soon this executive order can take effect, because it clearly will be subject to an injunction very soon. The ACLU has already announced that they will be filing suit shortly, and it's the kind of issue where one could expect an injunction. And then even if it were to go into effect, it has really not been shown in the past that something like this would have any significant effect on the problems at the border.
With the election just 5 months away, immigration remains a top issue for voters, along with the economy. While progressives may not be happy with Biden's move to restrict access to asylum seekers, they'll have to compare it to the actions and rhetoric of former President Trump. He recently said, quote, "They're coming in as terrorists. Many, many terrorists are coming in, and people are coming in with very contagious diseases." Trump also famously said that migrants are poisoning the blood of the country. Others, like the New York Times, noted that Biden's new immigration restriction actually mimics Trump's attempt to do the same in 2018. The American Civil Liberties Union, usually staunchly on the side of Democrats, has already vowed to sue over it. It seems that border law makes for strange bedfellows. While voters are deciding how far the United States can or should stretch to welcome our poor, huddled masses, let's not forget that in the midst of all this talk and political posturing are real human lives. Melissa Adamson from the National Center of Youth Law told PBS that if people can't cross at ports of entry, then they're forced to seek more and more dangerous routes. And when that happens, it leads to more injuries and illness and death. Andrew Bates, a White House spokesman, said last week that what the American people really want are bipartisan solutions to border security, not cynical politics. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.